It's father time on this episode of Pushback. If you're concerned about the direction our culture is heading, then maybe it's time to push back. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pushback. I'm Dr. Johnny, and I'm coming a couple days late on this podcast, so I apologize for that. We've had a lot of my children and their families in and out of our house this week, and family takes priority, and I know this podcast is very important, and I couldn't wait too much longer, but there's other things that took precedent. Speaking of that, my mother just turned 85 this week, and I know that she is a regular listener of my podcast, like any good mother would be. And so happy birthday, Mom, and we wish you just a blessed year, and we love you so, so much. So I want to continue my heart in regards to parenting and how parents are injected into culture, and how raising our children plays such a significant role in who and what we are as a society, as a culture. And I'm ringing the bell as to the importance and the gravity of what we are up against and what we are facing as a culture, and how we as parents get to influence that place as we raise our children in a world that is feeding us unhealth. We need to be the ones that indoctrinate health. We need to be the ones that push back against the culture and what it's offering our children, because what they're offering our children is killing them. Make no mistake about it. I have to use strong language, because we have to fully understand what we're up against. I'm going to release this podcast today, and then next week is sort of a transitional podcast as we move on to another subcategory that I wanted to talk about. If you'll recall, or if you've been listening over this year, I believe there are really four influencers of culture. The most important being parents, and that's what I've been covering here, even into the month of April, because I feel like it's the critical piece. And next podcast, I'm going to sort of wrap that up and try to lay down the gravity of who we are, as well as introduce sort of the next general subject, which will be the second P, which is pseudoscience, and politicians and Pharisees. It's an interesting group of people, and I'm going to explain how and why they influence culture positively, or in many instances, negatively. And so I want to not finish this category of parenting without discussing what I believe is one of the greatest problems influencing our culture today. If family sets the culture, which we talk about all the time, and family is the backbone of the father's culture and what he created for us, if that's true, then the notion of fatherlessness in our country and in our society has to be the biggest barrier, biggest problem, because I believe that really most of all the things that we're going to talk about this year, if there is a loving mother and father at home and parents who are sowing into their children, I believe that most of the problems that we're talking about can be overcome. Why? Because the Father created it that way. The Heavenly Father created it to be that way, that there would be strength, there would be security, there would be identity in who we are. Now, it doesn't mean that can't be accomplished with single-parent homes. I'm not saying that, but there is a superior way. And if our culture begins to embrace and coddle one parent or no parent families, then what we're going to expect to see is exactly what we're seeing in the culture, which is a breakdown of family structure, a breakdown of mental health in our children, whether we like it or not. That's what we're going to see. That's what we should expect to see. And again, as that becomes more common, it's tempting to call it normal. But I'm going to show you statistics today that show that it's not normal. And if we don't get our own house in order, that's why I want to finish up this section on parenting, because we can show what the world is throwing at us, and we can define the war. But if we don't get our own house in order, if we don't get our own battalion in order to fight the battle, then it's going to be a quick battle. It's going to be no contest. And so this idea of fatherlessness is sort of us fighting without any ammunition. It's that important. We need to get our own house in order. We need to change the divorce statistics so that the church divorce statistics looks a lot better than the world's, which it doesn't right now. There's something broken, and that's why at GoFam, the ministry that my wife and I serve, we know that there's plenty of opportunity for increasing health. And we're going to spend the rest of our lifetime fighting on that battlefield. See, when we have single-parent homes, or we go through a divorce, or children born out of wedlock, what happens is, and statistics will show this, that we enter into survival mode. Well, survival mode is not attack mode. Survival mode is just trying to get through the day. And I know there are probably many people even listening to this podcast that feel like that each and every day. And I'm not trying to condemn you or shame you, but we have to get out of survival mode. We have to do whatever we can to create health and wholeness in our families so that our families can then be positioned and pivoted towards this world to actually create cultural change. See, fractured homes, fractured relationships and family is obviously the plan of the enemy. It makes perfect sense. And if I was him, I would do it too. Because the result of that is hopelessness and anger and guilt in children. There's limited resources and unstable upbringings. So then we just try to survive. We just try to get through the day. We try to do the best that we can. But statistics show, obviously, and with no surprise whatsoever, that children simply do the best in stable, two-parent, heterosexual homes. And that's what we want, isn't it? We want the best. And so even as parents, as we're raising our children, we need to raise them even in the dating marriage world, even in engaging relationships, putting all of our firepower towards healthy marriages. Because then when they have children, they are raising warriors, not just survivors. That's what we're after. I released a podcast back in season number 2. That's over 3 years ago, called The Real Pandemic. So you know what was going on then. And it was all about fatherlessness. And statistics that I can update you, well over 20 million U.S. children live in a father-absent home. And that's just in the U.S. Many people believe that family structure doesn't really matter as long as children are cared for and loved by someone, anyone. However, new research on father absence shows the old adage, correlation does not imply causation. It does not apply to the effects of father absence on children. In other words, according to absent father statistics, for many of our most intractable social ills affecting children, father absence is to blame. Let's get to the heart of the matter here. We might want to believe otherwise, and there are many children who overcome the hardships associated with an absent father, but the truth is in the data. So let me give you some. Children living in a female-headed home with no spouse present had a poverty rate of 47.6%. This is over 4 times the rate for children living in married couple families. It's almost 50%. They found that adolescents from father-absent homes were 3.5 times more likely to experience pregnancy than were adolescents from father-present homes. Moreover, the rate of pregnancy among adolescents from father-absent homes was 17.4%. That's almost 1 in 5 compared to a 4% rate in the general adolescent population. How about gun carrying and drug trafficking in young men, linking father absence to the likelihood of engaging in these behaviors? Results from a sample of 835 juvenile male inmates found that father absence was the only disadvantage on the individual level, with significant effects on gun carrying, drug trafficking, and co-occurring behavior. Individuals from father-absent homes were found to be 279% more likely to carry guns and deal drugs than peers living with their fathers. Can I just read that again? Individuals from father-absent homes were found to be 279% more likely to carry guns and deal drugs than peers living with their fathers. The answer is fathers. That's the answer. Relationships between father absence and lower educational attainment for African American females found that a longer duration of father absence is a predictive factor for lower educational success. Researchers discovered that longer duration of father absence often leads to lower income and family and economic stress. Father involvement is related to positive cognitive development and social behavior child outcomes, such as improved weight gain in preterm infants, improved breastfeeding rates, higher receptive language skills, and higher academic achievement. Having a father around improves breastfeeding. Who knew? This is raw data. We have to get our minds around this. 70% of African Americans, 70% is the current statistic, are homes with a single parent. My friends, we can't bury our heads in the sand, and even with racial discussions, we have to understand that this is truly a pandemic. How does fatherlessness rate among other factors? 63% of youth suicides, 90% of all homeless and runaway youths, 85% of all children that exhibit behavioral disorders, 71% of all high school dropouts, 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions, 70%, 75% of adolescent patients in substance abuse centers, 75% of rapists motivated by displaced anger are from fatherless homes. Do I need to even say any more? The statistics speak for themselves. We have to get our house in order. Children from low-income, two-parent families listen to this. Children from low-income, two-parent families outperform students from high-income, single-parent homes. Almost twice as many high achievers come from two-parent homes as one-parent homes. Young men who grow up in homes without fathers are twice as likely to end up in jail as those who come from traditional two-parent families. Those boys whose fathers were absent from the household had double the odds of being incarcerated, even when factors such as race, income, parent education, and urban residence were held constant. You can't argue with facts. It's staggering. So why? What is it about fathers that makes such a difference? Why is this so critical? Well, we can't remove ourselves from the fact that this is the way our Heavenly Father created it to be. So that's going to be easily the most healthy environment, and we can take that to the bank. But the literature says young boys who have a father figure are less likely to act out, and young girls are more confident. A father can also help distinguish a sense of security and guide children to make wiser decisions. Please, let's go back to all the social media stuff that's happening. Imagine these young girls on social media without a father presence. It's a recipe for disaster. Discipline is another area where significant differences between mothers and fathers are seen. While women tend to be more sympathetic, fathers tend to be sterner. Fathers like to enforce the rules with an objective perspective, and this can instill in children a greater sense of right and wrong that can last a lifetime. Does our society need that? Clearly. It's obviously God's best way. And this is very, very important. Fathers also help boys develop self-respect for women and make girls more comfortable around men. I want to read that again. Fathers also help boys develop self-respect for women and make girls more comfortable around men. I don't have to tell you the painful statistics of abuse and relational pain that's taking place not only in marriages but in homes all across our country. You inject a father into the environment and things shift. Things change. That's why it's important. That's why we would expect to see things looking a little different when a father is around. Proverbs 1:8, hear my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Proverbs 23:22, listen to your mother who gave you life, and do not despise, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Proverbs 23:24, the father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. The beautiful passage. But this is where I really want to strike a chord, hopefully, in your heart. Malachi 4:6. This podcast is entitled Father Time. Now, Father Time is sort of this adage with this big gray beard with the man holding an hourglass. It's not exactly what I had in mind for the title. What I'm really titling this is, it's Father Time. It's time for fathers to take their role in society to actually bring healing to our nation and healing to family. It's critical. And the time is now for, if hopefully if you've been listening over the last 3 months, the time is now. We are up against a critical portion, a critical time in history. In Malachi 4:6, it's the last prophetic adage, the last prophetic release of the Old Testament before Jesus came to usher in the era of the new covenant in his blood. And he said, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. It's father time. It's father time. This is the time in which we live. This is the moment that fathers need to rise up and take responsibility for their families. And that changes everything. There are just some of those few things that we can do as a society that just causes a shift, causes a pivot. And if there's healthy family, if we can inject healthy family into our society and what it's to look like, there's no wave that can overcome that. There's no progressive ideology that can overcome that. There's no alternative lifestyle that can overcome raw statistics that I just gave you. What this world is giving us is not working. And this notion that we can just simply go on with life and do the best that we can is not God's best. There is a best way, and we can heal our nation through family, through healthy family, and show the world what it looks like. It's the age in which we live. Restored families are the manifestation of the cross and the resurrection. It's what Jesus came to do. His blood actually paid for us to be healthy and restored. According to Acts chapter 3, there's three things that living on the other side of the cross brings us. It brings us healing. It restores us into the presence of the Father himself. And that all of the families of the earth would be blessed. If you haven't read Acts chapter 3 for a while, read the message from Peter. Healing. Presence and the families of the earth would be blessed. Why is that important? Because families of the earth is what blesses our culture, what brings health and wholeness. It's clear in the Bible, it's clear in statistics, it's clear in sociology and what we're seeing today. The world has had their chance in the last 50 to 60 years, and it's simply not working. And I believe that healthy family is an answer. It's one of the most critical answers, is getting our house in order. We need to demonstrate what healthy family looks like so that people want it. People are hungry for it. I know that they are. They desire it. They desire it more than their selfish pleasures. They desire it more than power and control. Healthy family is what we all long for. Politicians should focus all their firepower on this problem. But they don't. I think I've shared this with you before. Statistics have shown that if young people get a job, any job, if they graduate from high school, and if they don't have a child out of wedlock, then poverty is virtually eliminated. If you just focus on those three things, we can virtually eliminate poverty. And yet politicians focus on the ultra rich, and we subsidize poverty, and we pat it on the head and say, it'll be fine. We'll get you through the day. It'll be another day of survival mode, but not understanding the fact that by placing people in survival mode, rather than lifting them up and placing them in their rightful place as society directors, as the ones who move and shift society and culture as family, then we're perpetuating the evil cycle of pain. This is a call to politicians. This is a call to parents. This is a call to young people making decisions about family and family life, about premarital sex, about relationships handled carelessly and recklessly. There's so much hinging upon all of those decisions in life, and we get to play a part in that. Hopefully you hear my heart in this. This is a cry towards a crisis, and fatherlessness and our divorce rates are crises here on this earth. But it's also a target. It's a target for healing. If that's you, if you need some healing in your relationships, in your families, in your marriages, I encourage you to go to gofam.org. We have resources that can help you and help you walk through some of those places of healing, because it's so critical and necessary going forward here on this earth. Thank you, my friends, for leaning into this. I'd love to hear your feedback. Please go to pushbackculture.org, pushbackculture.org, and leave any questions, comments that you would have, especially regarding parents and parenting here on this earth. And again, go to gofam.org and please check out our resources there. We'd love to connect with you through those platforms. Thank you for listening to me again. I'm sorry I'm a couple days late, but please tune in next week as well, because it's an important podcast as we transition and sort of lay out the battle plan of what we're really up against here as culture bearers. Thank you for listening. I love you guys. So now let's go together to set and shape the culture.